Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around. Welcome back to Hacks and Hobbies. Today's guest is Robert Plank, podcaster, marketer, and systems builder who's hosted over 1,400 episodes of Marketer of the Day. He's also the founder of Do It For You Podcast, a done-for-you podcast production and content repurposing service. In part one, we'll hear Robert's story and how he scaled one podcast into a platform and his insights on visibility without burnout. Robert, welcome to the show.
Happy to be here.
Robert, 1,400 podcast episodes. That's a massive achievement. I'm only halfway there.
You'll get caught up. Not to worry.
Yeah, not to worry, right? What first drew you into podcasting, and how did you keep going? Because most people don't get to do that.
What drew me into podcasting was being in obscurity, feeling that feeling of like being passed over, and there's always that person out there that is lazier than you and doesn't have as much talent as you and isn't even as excited as you, but they have these elusive skills called social skills, right? They can light up the room, they can have charisma, they can just charm people, and you think, hey, why not me, right? I've got all these other skills and assets. And so it turns out that social skills is just another tool in the bucket to be developed, to figure out. And we are at the point now where it's really necessary, right? Like post-pandemic, where you're kind of expected to be on camera, expected to be on Zoom, expected to network, expected to be on LinkedIn. And that's why I got started, was just because I was limited in my growth at a 9-to-5 doing the computer programming. And I said, I need to be an entrepreneur, need to make my own business. But then I was limited at that point from the connections, from the networking, right? You can never do enough networking. And then you end up going down these paths where you say, you know, maybe I'll partner with this person or that person, and that'll unlock some other friends of friends. But then even they kind of get a little lazy. And at some point you say, you know, I can't rely on anyone else. It's great to have that outside support and delegate and all those wonderful things, but you still need to have your own connections. And that's what started the podcasting. It's just this ability to, or this need to, get other people involved and to always be making new friends and developing the friendships. And then what has consisted or persisted as far as keeping that going is turning it into some kind of a business, getting those leads funneled into something, having some results, and then also having the discipline, saying, you know, I'm a serious business person. I've got a schedule. I've got a calendar. I've got appointments to make. And it's kind of just these different tools, different strategies, mindsets, but it's just those two things. So starting was the need to develop and have and get the benefits from social skills. And then what sustained it was figuring out the business growth plus the discipline.
Dude, that's so powerful. And like you mentioned, right, it helps you, like podcasting helps you build those social skills because you're meeting a new person every single day. This is the first time we got to meet, you know, before this we were emailing back and forth, but this is the first interaction that we're having. And when you do that enough times with many, many people, guess what? Now you can literally start a conversation with anybody on the street. Maybe sometimes it's harder than others, but again, you build out social skills and you're able to tell stories or listen to a story or have those active listening skills. So really awesome that you went down that path and found a solution for that predicament that you were running into.
100%. It's really important, but it's weird because it's got this delayed gratification, right? I see the value in it. You see the value in it. But sometimes you second guess, or if there's someone out there who has heard of podcasting, they listen to podcasts, but then they hesitate as far as using it for the growth of their own business or their own career, it's easy to come up with 1,001 excuses not to even start because they haven't yet experienced the benefits of it. And they see all these drawbacks to it, right? Well, I've got to figure out these social skills. It takes me all this time. I have to figure out this equipment. It's sad that many people don't even start. But if you can start, if you make it part of your consistent schedule, there's so many benefits.
Exactly, exactly. Now, when you were starting out, were there any early struggles that maybe stopped you as you were going? Because I've been there, you know, I started the podcast and I'm like, should I take a break today? Should I keep on going? What am I going to even talk about? Did you ever feel like that?
All the time, probably every few episodes. The big one was probably running out of content, running out of ideas. And I had my podcast heroes and mentors, and I'm sure you do too. And you listen after a while and it kind of repeats, right? It kind of gets repetitive. Like even if you listen to like a Joe Rogan or a Dave Ramsey or a Tim Ferriss or any of these like big time podcasters, you listen to like a few hundred other episodes and you start to say like, you know, I could run their show, right? I could talk to their guests as far as just the repetitiveness. And so when I started podcasting, it was like 13 years ago and it was just putting out the solo episodes. And I told myself all these weird excuses and I made it too hard on myself. I told myself that the episodes needed to be an hour long and then I had to do all this preparation and I took like pages of notes ahead of time to have a whole structure. I made it way too complicated on myself. And then with an hour long podcast, I think I started once a month and I went to once a week. And after like 20, 30, 40 hours of just like putting out all this knowledge, I was talking about copywriting and building landing pages and email marketing, and I would start to like repeat myself. And then there's also when you listen to people's podcasts and you can tell they're getting to topics that say like five reasons why you should go to a networking event, or they say like, well, should you use a website builder A or website builder B? And once it gets to that point, it's like, whoa, it's really fallen quite away from the initial excitement with an interesting hook, an interesting benefit. You're talking about like your origin story or your breakthroughs, and then you're getting down into like, hey, here's these two options. Which should you choose? You decide. And it's just, it gets lame after a while. So when I got close to 100 episodes, I thought something's got to give. I've got to do something to get the quality up. And I could either put even more time into podcasting than I already was and try to learn all the stuff and teach all the stuff that I just learned, but that's definitely not good, versus finding expert guests for my show. And these people, they come on, they've got like a lifetime worth of knowledge, right? They've got 10, 20, 30 years worth of experience, and they come on and they've dedicated their lives to this sort of stuff. And then you can have your own unique conversations because no two conversations are alike. And then they get on talking about what they love. And it's way less time and way less work for you because your guest is doing most of the talking, doing most of the work. And then what you end up with is all these diverse topics, all these other subjects, and they're kind of like adjacent to your own zone of genius. And they're adjacent to your own offers, benefits, content. But as we've been saying, it's a great way to make friends because there's like that select group of people that are great on podcasts, that want to be on podcasts, that want to be on your podcast. And if you can make a friend like that, have them on your show, you're doing them such a favor that will pay off for them forever. Like someone will be able to find that podcast episode 10, 20, 30 years from now. And so it was a bunch of bottlenecks and all that, but the big one was just the content running out of my own knowledge. And I said, I have to get guests from my show. And as you know, from you said 700 episodes that you have all kinds of amazing, unexpected adventures and conversations. And so it's a great template, right? It's a great format to have guests on your podcast.
Absolutely, Robert. And as you're going through this exercise, as you're going through, you know, these struggles that almost sometimes stop you, but you keep going because you find that the people listening are getting value out of it. And then when you start bringing people on the show, you're getting value as well as the listener all at the same time. Now, there had to be a mindset shift that probably you had to make. What was that to help you stay consistent?
Probably arrogance. Arrogance plus the, like, there's like the taking down the arrogance level and then bringing up the confidence level, because negative self-talk is a real bad thing. Mm. If you let negative self-talk win, then it'll make you like agonize and relive podcast conversations that you had, and you'll have a meeting, you'll have a record an episode like this one, you'll think, oh, yeah, I could have answered that question so much better at 8 minutes and 22 seconds, and you'll be in search of the perfect conversation, which doesn't exist, and you end up second guessing yourself. And it's like, so much of life is just showing up and doing your best and being present and being focused. And then if you really want to improve, that's a thing that will happen over time. But don't beat yourself up. Be kind to yourself. And it took me like hundreds of episodes just to learn that lesson, that it's so tempting to think, oh, that conversation could have been better. And then what you end up doing is like one-upping the person, right? They say something great, and instead of just kind of going with the flow, you try to like hijack it. You try to make it better. You try to be larger than life.
Oh my God.
Might be annoying. And then you might think to yourself, well, that conversation was really great, but then the other person doesn't think so, or you think that the conversation was kind of humdrum, but the other person thinks it was great. So it's not about you. And it's about just having a good time and being relaxed and matching the other person's energy and teaching a few things and telling some stories. And don't overthink it. You'll get better over time.
I absolutely love that, because when you overthink and when you overanalyze and analyze this stuff over and over, guess what you're not doing? You're not doing the actual thing that you're analyzing about, right?
Oh,
so it's better to go out and do it ugly, do it silly, do it imperfect. Because at least you're doing something, and then guess what's going to happen? You're going to learn, and you can be able to apply better things that you learned, like into the next version of the next episode.
Of course.
Now, Robert, one of your big messages is staying visible without burning out. What does that look like in real life for you?
It ties into what we've been talking about, taking that imperfect action. I know that you're big on the personal brand, Mr. Junaid, and there's no way to go wrong as long as you're putting stuff out consistently and you're looking at the data, looking at the feedback. So I think that you need to be someone that puts out the content on all these social platforms. And you know, you and I are podcast hosts, and we have people who say, hey, I want to be on your podcast. And when someone says something like that, I go and I jump on social media. I'm just like, let me look at their YouTube and LinkedIn, especially. Maybe I'll look at like their Amazon, TikTok, Facebook, maybe their X. But then it's like the further down the list, the less I care. But like those handful of platforms, I'm just like, did Mr. Junaid post in the past week? Has he posted today? Versus if I see the most recent post, what, like if Mr. Robert says, well, I've only posted in the past 6 months, or the last post on LinkedIn is 8 months ago, I'm like, this is not a serious business person. They're just a hobbyist. Get back to me when there's some kind of consistent posting. And so it's like you need to put out the content on a regular basis. And if you're thinking about, well, what's the bare minimum? Like at least put out something like once a week. And as you and I both know, if you podcast, you have all sorts of clips, all sorts of images, all sorts of posts and text to choose from.
So that's why
I'm a big fan of doing the podcasting consistently, having that content library, because now I just record the podcast. I have a team. They cut up the reels. They make the post. They schedule them out. That way, if that media or speaking opportunity presents itself, someone can say, all right, this guy, he posts consistently, at least once a week, preferably once a day. So he's not some goofball. He's a serious authority in what he does.
Yeah. You're so right in that, Robert, because the activity shows your seriousness in the topic that you're supposedly an expert in, right? And the more you do that, the more people see your dedication in it. And like, okay, you know, this guy's actually going to serve my audience. This guy's actually going to bring value to people listening to the podcast, because if there's no value, if they're not doing it for themselves, then how do we know that they're going to do a similar job for us? It's almost like somebody said this, how you do something is how you do everything, right? It's so powerful. So let's take down to another route, Robert. What's the danger of podcasters or entrepreneurs trying to do it all? They're doing it all themselves. You've mentioned that you've got a team that takes care of the post-production, the social media. What are some of the dangers that podcasters might be facing?
The bright, shiny object, for sure. And you and I both know it. And it's such a temptation to resist. The grass is always greener, and there's all of the cliches. And what happens is you got into entrepreneurship and you got into this business for a reason. And unfortunately, a lot of people, they just want to escape something, right? They look at what they want to subtract, not what they want to add. And the harsh reality of entrepreneurism, especially, is that there's more time and work, and there's probably less pay the first several years unless you really scale or you get bought out or something like that. And there's a lot more risk, but also a lot more fun. And a lot of people don't really think about that going in, right? They think like, oh, well, I'm an accountant. I can start my own accounting firm. It'll be no big deal. Well, you're going to have to do a lot of uncomfortable activities that you probably don't want to do. But that's called being an adult. And ideally, there's a mix between the kind of the tedium and the answering the emails and the systematizing for your team and the fixing the websites and doing the business paperwork. And then somewhere in there is some percentage of fun that you do. But then there's that real problem of maybe 18 months in, or probably I would say like every 18 months, is the staleness creeps back in, right? The boredom.
Yeah.
And then everything else besides what you're doing looks so interesting. Ooh, like maybe I could go and do this with AI. Maybe I can start this other side business. Maybe I could kind of create this other new product. And it's fine to experiment. And there's probably like a healthy amount of experimentation that's good. But if all you're doing is experimenting in your business, you're just jumping from one hobby to another. That's the real scary part. That's the real danger. And I think about that all the time, and I'm sure you do too, that there's the wildness, there's the creativity, there's all the newness, but you also have to have the structure, the discipline. You have the calendar, you have the appointments, you have the podcast guests that are showing up for you, you have the prospecting calls, you have the coaching calls, you have all that kind of adult stuff versus the kid childlike activities. But it's as long as you kind of know that, okay, I'll have fun and I'll do all the risky experiments, but that's not all I'm doing. I'm also doing what's kind of like sustaining me. And hopefully if one thing builds up, I can move from one to the other. So maybe a lot of the long shots, the fun experiments will pay off, but it can't be all experiments. It can't all be chasing the next bright, shiny object, because you'll spend all this time spending 18 months starting this business, and as soon as it's rocking and rolling, you get bored and you go to the next one, and that'll just tire you out after 5 or 6 cycles of that.
I totally agree. And in entrepreneurship or in the human mind, it's called the J curve. You start at an exciting point, and then as you're working towards it, you kind of go down, and by the time you go to the bottom, you're like super bored, and that's where you jump up and try to start something new, and then you go down, and then, but if you had stuck around, that J curve is going to go high, and then you're going to bring that excitement back and bring the people back, the movement back. And it's something that we all need a way to escape from. And I love what you said, right? It's important to have the systems and the teams in place so that you can avoid the burnout, you can spend time, and you can come back refreshed every single day. Talk to me about, how did you personally avoid burnout while running Marketer of the Day when you did start it back in a long time ago?
Well, yeah, got started in 2012 and then moved to the interview format in 2016. And I think, my enthusiasm has fallen every few years, probably back to that every 18 months. And I think what's helped is One is having a good mentor. So I had a mentor from 2009 to 2012, and then I stopped. And I went through all these years of just kind of like, it was just less and less for me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really like the people that I was surrounding myself with for a bunch of years, because other people's negativity, pessimism, sarcasm, passive aggressiveness, self-sabotage, negative self-talk, it all kind of like infects you if you're all surrounded by that. It's kind of like if you're around people and they use particular keywords, or they laugh a certain way, or they talk a certain way, then after a while you're going to start becoming like that.
Yes, and, you are.
This year, so every few years, probably like every 5 years or so, I would be in search of a new mentor, because I didn't want to just like take anyone that came along, but I found myself just like really kind of like directionless, and I didn't know of anyone that really was at where I wanted to go. And there were a couple of like masterminds or programs I could join, or like I'd try like this one event or this one meeting, and just every like 4 or 5 years or so, I'd kind of like try this new mentor. And then this year it stuck. About 9 months ago, I got this LinkedIn coach, and he just loves people. And he would show me his calendar, and he'd have like 14 appointments, like 17 appointments. And he'd be like, I'm so excited to talk to this person and that person. And he would just like be able to rattle off, like just by seeing these 14 to 17 new names every day, he would have this enthusiasm. And at that point, I probably only had like 2, maybe 3 appointments a day on the calendar, between like, you know, podcasts, prospecting call, coaching call, things like that. And when I would see 2 or 3, I would dread it. I would see the names, and I would be thinking in my head of ways to either get out of the meeting or ways that the meeting could go wrong. And I was just so programmed for negativity. Wow. But I met this guy, and because I met this guy, I ramped up to like 5, 7, 9 meetings a day sometimes. Wow. And I would just kind of channel him and his energy. And I would think like, you know, I could have this bad behavior that doesn't serve me at all for thinking like, well, I hope this person doesn't show up. Well, I hope this meeting is quick.
Versus
this guy that like, he loves people. He's like, hey, I can't wait to hear what Junaid has to tell me about the guests he had that worked at DreamWorks. It worked on Independence Day, right?
Yeah.
So it's like the pessimism or the optimism is a choice. And it is tough to unprogram yourself if you've been around these negative people. But I finally found a good mentor, and we don't meet that often. He's not like a daily kind of mentor.
Sure.
But whenever I'm feeling discouraged again, and like it does happen, I send him a text, or I just think about that moment when he showed me the calendar. He's like, I'm excited to talk to these people. So like, you have to figure out a way to do that, right? If you're in a business of podcasting or like sales or getting your coaching clients, or like, you know, being face to face like you and me are right now, you have to find a way to enjoy people and be curious about people and be excited about their stories and their skills and their uniqueness. You have to figure out a way.
You do. You absolutely do need to figure out a way. And you need to, you know, fire your friends, because maybe they're not as positive as you thought they would have been, or maybe they'd be as supportive as you thought. So you need to find the right people so that you can move forward, so that you can grow. Now, Robert, you've created your podcast as a platform. You've built more than a podcast. You've built that platform. How do you see podcasts fitting into the bigger picture of someone's brand? Because podcasts, as popular as we think they are, there's still a very small number of podcasts there are in the world. How does a podcast fit into someone's brand?
Well, I think that you need to keep your podcast going, because there's so many podcasts out there, but there's also a lot of podcasts that are failing, that are on the bubble, that aren't consistent. So that's one part of it. But as far as your brand, I mean, your brand is probably what people say about you when you're not in the room, isn't it? And so you need to surround yourself with all these people. And when you think of like the famous world leaders or famous actors, you think about like, hey, there's like, you know, there's Tom Cruise or there's Will Smith. You think about like other actors that are like on that level as them, right? Like their peers. And I think that, and one thing that really fascinated me probably midway through, like maybe 5 or 6 years with this podcasting, I was thinking like what you're saying, like what's it all about? Well, yeah. I can build up the content, I can feed it through AI, I can get the social posting, but like what's it really building towards? And I talked to another podcaster who said that your podcast should be this platform that you build up that other people want to hop onto. Mm-hmm. That, well, if it's all about you, then who's going to want to be part of it?
Right.
But if you have all kinds of amazing guests and have all these kind of amazing ideas, and like the cliche, it was Joe Rogan, right? Joe Rogan gets all these guests. And then, I mean, I'm curious about his first handful of episodes, right? But
yeah.
Then he got all these famous people, and then it's like now it's at the caliber of like, well, if you wanted to be on a show like that, like you would have to be as good as or mm-hmm. as famous as or as innovative as his guests. So you think, well, you kind of build this platform and you get the guests that are your friends, your peers, your vendors, who is gettable for you. And then once you build up the traffic and the name recognition, then like, hey, now you're at this point where now you can get other people wanting to be on your show. That's where you want to be. You want to be like a climbing the ladder, so to speak.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're so right. You know, it not only builds your brand, but also you're creating a platform for others to share their stories. And because people are coming to listen to not just your story, but their story, you're kind of giving people a voice or a stage to perform at and answer the hard questions. You know, it's really, really powerful. Robert, your story shows that consistency and systems beat hustle every single time. Because when you have those systems in place, you do the work, you have the team, carry out the thing, you don't ever need to hustle again because it's all part of the system. Thank you so much for coming on, and I can't wait to dig deep into part two and walk through your content system.
Let's do it.
Robert, before we go, where can the audience listen or connect with you, either your podcast or your website and all the different ways that they could connect with you?
Podcast is marketeroftheday.com. That's where you can find our 1,400 episodes, our amazing guests. And then website is dfypodcast.com. If you want a podcast, we're the team to do it.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Robert. And we'll see you in part two. Keep turning hobbies into legacy. Your story matters. As in part two, Robert's going to walk us through his content system, how you can turn a single podcast episode into a full month of marketing content. And if you've ever wondered how to make your podcast work harder for you, you don't want to miss it. That's what we're going to talk about. So stick around. We'll be back with more. And make sure to check out the website and Robert's podcast and the links below. Thanks so much. We'll see you in the next one.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode on Hacks and Hobbies. We absolutely appreciate your contribution. You can find additional notes on hacksandhobbies.com. Please share the podcast with your friends and tell them what you learned about our guest today.